Thank you, Neil and Brother Mo. God bless you. Did you like the worship today? Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that something? I'll tell you, what a blessing to. This is really neat. You know, this is like a flashback for me, being a West Side Buffalo guy. You know, anyone here? Yes, we got a couple West Side Buffalo people here. You remember, you know, this is my first time back at this beach, Bay Beach, since the late 60s and early 70s. And you know how the West Side Italians are. You know, you walk along the beach with all the gold looking cool, the hair slicked back. Well, my hair is still slicked back. You know, you walk around the beach and you look, you never go in the water. No way. You don't go in the water. You just want to look good walking around the beach. And that's the last time I've been. I've been to Bay Beach. Actually, I think we used to call it Gee Beach. Remember the geese? They used to call them geese on the West Side. So I was an old West Side Gee walking around this beach. But what a difference today. What a difference today this is. God bless this day. It's a gorgeous day. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, I minister to professional athletes most of the time. I've been doing baseball chapel for 13 years with the Buffalo Bisons, and I get a chance to minister to the home team. I'll do the visiting team, and then I'll go do the umpires. Nobody visits the umpires but me. No one wants to see the umpires. So I give about 3 services a day when I do baseball chapel. And I've been involved in sports ministry with the Buffalo Bills through Athletes in Action and Fred Raines and the ministry with Frank Reich and the Call the Courage Breakfast. Has anyone ever been to the Call the Courage Breakfast here in Buffalo? It's a great event. So anyway, what I wanted to share with you today is something God laid on my heart because God has been so generous to Joe Chifa. He's really blessed my life more than I deserve. Isn't that the truth? God always blesses more than what we deserve. And I want to talk to you today, this morning, about a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle of generosity. A lifestyle of generosity. You know, Winston Churchill once said, "You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give." Churchill was a great leader, and what he said about giving really drives home the point of what I think generosity can be, a lifestyle. What is living generously? To me, living generously is 3 things. Using your God-given ability to help those in need, number one. Number 2, where your time, your treasure, or your money and your talents come together to meet the needs of others. And number 3, something you can practice all year long, not just at Christmas time. If you ever receive Jesus Christ and receive salvation from Christ, you have been given the gift. You've been given the gift of eternal life. So in a very fundamental way, you have already been shown great generosity. The least we can do with all these gifts is to use them to help others in need. Some have more material resources than others to pull from. Some have time, and some just have a big heart. You know somebody's got just a big heart? Others have unique talents that can be benefit to other people. No matter what the gift, being generous with your gifts is the key. So let's look at the 3 main components of living generously: time, money, and talents. What is it to be generous with your time? Time is something that we all have and we all spend. Many of us, including me, have spent it well at times and have wasted it at other times. But since we all have the same 24 hours in a day, why not begin to use some of it in a noble, fruitful, and a way to benefit others? Not because we have to, but because we want to. It has been said many times and in many ways that time is an asset. Being generous with your time can be as simple as a phone call or an email of encouragement to someone who needs it. That simple act costs you very little, but can be a big impact on the other person. I have a friend, a dear friend, who sits on the board of Athletes in Action with me named Don Santucci. Some of you might know Don. And he's the kind of guy that when things are going tough and he knows it, I'm in a meeting and I'm a little stressed, I'll get a phone call from Don and he'll say, "Joe, I just want to let you know, brother, I'm praying for you." He goes, "God is there with you. This is going to be great. Whatever we're doing, God is blessing you. He's using you. and then he'll send me an email, and I'll tell you, it just lifts me right up. Doesn't something like that just lift you right up? I said, man, you know, I can go now. I'm ready to go. I was feeling bad before, but I'm feeling good now, just because someone took the time to tell me that. And what about being generous with our resources, our money? Generosity can come in many forms, but I think the first place we recognize generosity is a form of money. Most people think of generosity in terms of money, and that certainly is an expression of generosity. So you could turn that form into a form of your generosity by donating. Here's just a few examples of how this could look by donating. Contributing to local church and food banks to help support overseas ministries. Giving an angel tree at Christmas time. Participate in Toys for Tots. Provide for men and women at area shelters. Sponsor people on mission trips. Provide gifts for our troops who serve the great countries of the United States and Canada. Those are just some of the ways. What about generous time with your talent? We all have been gifted by God, believe it or not. What talents do you have? Can you play an instrument or sing? Like our brother? Oh, yeah. Are you good at accounting? Not me. Certainly not my talent. Do you own a business that provides a valuable service? Are you an excellent organizer or a wonderful cook? There are many ways to give of your talents and many who can benefit from them. Take your talents and give them back to God. I encourage you to ask Him what He'd have you do with what He gave you. How could you use your God-given gifts to give back to others? I don't believe God gives us our gifts all for ourselves. I believe He gives them to us so we can serve others and show them the love of Christ. After all, that is our job here on earth, right? To show others the love of Christ. It's all about keeping it in perspective. It says in the Bible that it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. Paul the Apostle had a lot to say about generosity. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about generous people have a motive for giving. He says in 2 Corinthians, but just as you have excelled in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the gift of giving, the grace of giving. They were generous because they recognized God's grace. When we truly understand what Jesus did up on the cross, it transforms us, and giving becomes a natural part of our lives. Think about what God has done for you. When Jesus hung on the cross, He had you on His mind. When Jesus hung on the cross, He knew that in 1977, Joe Chifa would be crying out to Him for salvation. Generous people also develop a plan for giving. It says here again in 2 Corinthians, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be as ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. You know, they didn't tip God, reaching into their pocket at the last minute to stick something in the offering plate. They prayerfully considered what God wanted them to give, and they made a commitment, and they followed through with it. Folks, here's a newsflash. Take a newsflash from an old public relations man, 39 years in public relations. Here's a newsflash for you. God is not broke. You realize that? God is not broke. He still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't he? He still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God does not need your money, but He wants to teach you the blessing of giving. Jesus said, of course, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You cannot outgive God. Impossible. You can't outgive the Lord. And then again, generous people know the purpose of giving. It says here again, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. We certainly do not give because God is short on cash or needs us in order to accomplish his purpose, nor do we give to impress people, very important, or to get a tax deduction. None of those reasons gives honor to God. We should give so that his name may be exalted and expanded. We give to meet material, physical, and spiritual needs of people. We give so that those who minister the gospel are blessed for their service to us, and we give out of obedience to God. You know, I said about we don't give to impress people. I recall an incident in 2005. You all remember, I'll inject a little sports in here. In 2005, there was a man who passed away. He was the first big man of the NBA. George Mikan was his name. He died in 2005. First big man to play in the NBA. And he died broke, penniless. And there was a game a couple nights ago. He didn't have money for a funeral. There was a game later on that couple nights later and with the Miami Heat. And in the locker room, when all the media and all the cameras were all around and the microphones were there, the press was writing, they went around the locker of Shaquille O'Neal. And Shaq, of course, he made sure that all the press was around him. And he says, "You know something? I'm going to pay for this man's funeral." And I said to myself, "You know, that's great." I says, "But boy, that's not how God would want us to give. If you want to do something like that, man, just do it. And you know, like I said, the night, just do it. You don't have to have a press conference to do something like that." You know, Jesus had something pretty profound to say about giving to the needy. When Jesus gave the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about how we should give to the poor and the needy. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew. Listen. He says, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." And that's the far cry from what I just talked to you about. The book of Proverbs says, "Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." Now, let me tell you about another man, another sports figure, another great athlete. This one's story is a little different. First of all, let me say he's a dear friend of mine, a man who loves the Lord, a man who doesn't just talk the talk, but walks the walk. And I'm talking literally walks the walk. If you have any old-time Buffalo Bills fans here, we got any Buffalo Bills fans who love the Buffalo Bills, well, then you might just recognize the name. His name is Joe DeLaMalier, better known as Joe D. You know Joe D? Some of you guys remember Joe D from back in the 60s and in the 70s. Let me share with you a few facts about this remarkable man, who, if you don't know who he is. Joe DeLaMalier was born in Detroit, on the east side of Detroit in the late 60s and 70s. In the 50s, he's one of 12 children. He played college football at Michigan State University, where he became three times All Big Ten performer and an All-American. Joe D was selected in the first round of the 1973 NFL draft by the Buffalo Bills, where he anchored one of the NFL's most famous offensive lines titled the Electric Company. You all remember the Electric Company? You know why they call them the Electric Company? Because they used to turn on the juice for O.J. Simpson. They used to turn on the juice, the Electric Company. DeLaMalier received the greatest honor a football player can possibly ever receive when he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2003. He was just one of two offensive right guards to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Eight times during his career, Joe was selected first or second team All-Pro. He appeared in six Pro Bowls. In 1975, The NFL Players Association named Joe Offensive Lineman of the Year. DeLaMelier played in an unprecedented 185 consecutive games over his 13-year season with the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns. DeLaMelier was named to the NFL's 1970s All-Decade Team. And today, Joe is one of the strongest leading proponents for voices in the NFL Players Association regarding the treatment of retired players from the 60s, 70s, and 80s who have fought to ensure that the men who built the great game, the modern game, will be respected and supported financially and medically. Well, Joe is a very generous man. Joe D. played in an era where they didn't make the millions of dollars that you see today. Joe is not a wealthy man, by no means. Like I said, he played when they made very little money. In fact, Joe told me a story. You'll love this story. In his rookie year in 1973, he had a little clause in his contract, number one draft pick. And it said, if you made the all-rookie team, you're going to get a bonus from the Buffalo Bills. Are you ready? A big bonus, $5,000. Can you imagine giving a bonus like that to an NFL player today? I think they leave that for change, a tip when they go out. Well, Joe was pretty excited about that, and he made the all-rookie team that year, made the all-rookie team. Well, when he went back, you know, he just got married. He was married and had a young family going, and he went to the, I don't know who the general manager of the Buffalo Bills was at the time, and he says, sir, he says, you know, I made that all-rookie team. He said, I want to know, when will I be receiving that $5,000? And the GM says, well, wait a minute, Joe. He says, we meant rookie of the year. And he says, rookie of the year? He says, I don't ever think that an offensive lineman ever made rookie of the year. It's almost impossible for an offensive lineman to make rookie of the year. So, of course, they went back and forth, and they settled on a big bonus of $2,500 for Joe DeLaMelier. So, as I said, he's a man who, you know, wonderful man of God, but not a wealthy man by no means. But Joe, of course, has always said that he would not use his fame for his own profit, but to help others. Let me tell you something, folks. That is a very, very rare quality in any professional athlete, especially a Hall of Famer. Joe has always said when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2003, he says, I love this induction ceremony so much that I will never miss a Hall of Fame enshrinement, even if I have to walk to Canton, Ohio. Now, Joe lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. So in 2003, it's the 40th anniversary of Joe D. when he came into the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, and it's the 10th anniversary of his induction into the Hall of Fame. And he says, Lord, he says, I really want to walk to Canton, Ohio. He says, but I'm not sure what you want me to walk for. He says, I know I need to walk for something, Lord. You got to show me, God, why I need to walk to Canton, Ohio. And this past February, this year, Joe D. went into one of his favorite hamburger places. And there he met a woman named Crystal Funderburk, a beautiful Christian woman, and her young son, Joey. And Joey Funderburk, did not have any legs. Joey had prosthetics. And the owner of the hamburger joint, who was friends with Joe, he says, see those people over there? He says, they can use your help. You know what they can use from you, Joe? Your fame. They said, they can use your fame. So he went over and he talked to Crystal and Joey, and they said, you know, Mr. DeLaMelier, they says, we have these legs for Joey. It costs so much money. It costs over $100,000 because when he was a baby, Joey was an orphan from Romania, and he came here with just a portion of his leg and some club feet. And, of course, they amputated that when he came here at about 6, 7 years old when he was adopted by Crystal Funderburk. And Joey had young person's prosthetics. So when Joey needed, at 20 years old now, he needed new prosthetics, the insurance would not pay the $100,000. So Joey, being a wonderful man that he is, a young man, decided to sell donuts in the area from Krispy Kreme. And he made money to profit and make for new legs. And he was on national television on the doctor's show. You ever see the doctor's show on TV? He was on that, especially. He was in the newspapers all over. But you know something? They didn't want to keep the blessing to themselves. So they started a ministry called Grace's Lamp. LAMP, L-A-M-P, standing for Love, Adoption, Missions, and Prosthetics. Well, they talked to Joe D. They says, sir, they says, we want to share what we did with the rest of the country and the rest of the world, but we don't know how to promote. We don't know. We don't have anyone who's a champion for us. We understand that you're a famous man, and maybe you could help us out. And then Joe D. said, you know something? I knew I had to walk. I knew I had to walk. And now, thank you, Lord, he says, because now I know what I have to walk for. I have to walk for those who can't walk. For those who can't walk. Can you believe that? That's what God did. So then we came up with an idea to promote this. And my Susan came up with the idea. She says, let's call this walk Joe D. Pounding the Pavement for Prosthetics. How's that sound? Is that great? Is she a genius, this girl? Huh? Unbelievable. Of course, I'll take full credit for it anyway. So then we said, well, where is he going to walk from? Where's Joe going to walk from? Well, we contacted the Buffalo Bills, and we says, how about if he starts on the 50-yard line of Ralph Wilson Stadium? So we brought Joey Funderburk and his mom, their whole family, up to Ralph Wilson Stadium on July 10th, just this past July 10th. We had a press conference over there, and because we wanted to create, you know, awareness of this issue. Joe D. always says, you know, the Heart Association has this, breast cancer has this. These people have nothing. There's nothing that can mold them together. So we started on the 50-yard line of Ralph Wilson Stadium, and Joe D. walked. And you remember that week in July, it was the hottest week in, what, 10 years? Remember all the 90s and people were dying into the heat? That's the 10 days that Joe D. had his walk from Buffalo, from Orchard Park, 213 miles later to the steps of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. He did it to help raise awareness and support for this young man. He walked over 20-something miles a day. He's 62 years old, folks, played 13 years in the National Football League and took quite a pounding, getting beat up by Mean Joe Green and all those guys. But that's Joe D. That's the heart. That's the heart of this man, talking about generosity. Joe D. doesn't have money, but he has fame, and he used it for that purpose. You know, giving is a matter of the heart, isn't it? Isn't giving a matter of the heart? You know, there's an old story about a dad who gave his son 2 quarters as he heads to Sunday school. He told the boy he should give 1 quarter in the offering and he could keep the other and get an ice cream cone. Well, I guess that the price of the ice cream kind of tells you how old the story really is. As the boy walked down the street, he accidentally dropped one of the quarters, which then rolled into the storm drain and disappeared. The boy looked for a moment down the drain and then slowly looked up toward the sky. He sighed and he says, well, Lord, there goes your quarter. Isn't that just like us sometimes? Isn't that, you know, I've been there, done that. I won't tell you what I used to do with the offering. When I was a boy, you don't want to know. You know, Jesus told us, store up your treasures in heaven as an expression of a devoted heart. He said in Matthew, Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Biblical giving is driven by grace. A giving heart only starts as we contemplate and comprehend how Jesus could trade heaven and its glorious perfection for this earth and a human existence and the pain of a crucifixion. Only as I appreciate God's grace to me will my heart be changed into a giving heart. Grace motivates giving that pleases God. We sang about grace earlier. God is honored by giving when we are imitating him, the one who gave his son to die for us. Generosity is a matter of the heart and the way of life. With a focus on others, giving is to be done freely and cheerfully. People with this attitude trust God to meet their needs and are set free to give away. No matter how little we have, the Lord wants us to be magnanimous with people. Do you know someone who is considered generous? Do you know someone who is considered, is it you? Is it you? You know, this past Wednesday, there was a memorial service at my church for a dear friend, a dear cousin of mine, my cousin Vinny. Yes, I have a cousin Vinny. I actually have two cousin Vinnies. And my cousin Big Vinny, he passed away, a wonderful man who loved my cousin Vinny. He lived in Las Vegas. We had the service for him over here. He was 73 years old. And when the young man went up to do the eulogy, the very first thing he talked about with my cousin Vinny about his life was his generosity. And I said to myself, you know something? Isn't that the truth of what we're going to be known as? My cousin was known because of his great generosity. What a great trait. What a great tribute to someone. There's also a practical benefit to our generosity. It unleashes the Father's provision. Just listen to what Jesus said in Luke's gospel. He says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you." Listen, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And this principle of giving is changeless as the law of gravity. Those who give generously can expect God's blessing in their lives and eternal rewards in heaven. It's as simple as that. When you believe in God, keep His commands, and begin to act with generosity to others, the Lord will bless you. And you will never deplete the source of your prosperity. That would be like trying to dip Lake Erie dry over here right behind us with a thimble. So don't miss out on the Father's blessings. Come to Him in faith and receive what He longs to lavish upon you. And let me conclude with why giving is godlike with this story. I started with a story from Winston Churchill, and I'm going to conclude with a story from World War II. Shortly after World War II, the saddest sight for soldiers who were picking up the pieces in ravaged Europe was that of little orphaned children starving in the streets of those war-torn cities. One soldier, driving along in his jeep, spotted a little lad with his nose pressed up to the window of a pastry shop. Inside, the cook was kneading dough for a fresh batch of donuts. The hungry boy stared in silence, watching every move. The soldier pulled his jeep to the curb and got out and slipped over to the boy's side. Through the steamed-up window, he could see the mouth-watering morsels as they were being pulled from the oven, piping hot. The boy salivated and released a slight groan. The soldier's heart went out to the orphan. "Son, would you like some of those?" The boy was startled. "Oh, yes, would I?" The American soldier stepped into the shop, bought a dozen, put them in a bag, and walked back to where the lad was standing in the foggy cold of a London morning. He smiled, he held out the bag, and simply said, "Here you are." As he turned to walk away, he felt a tug on his coat. The soldier looked back, and he heard the child quietly say, "Mister, are you God?" We are never more like God than when we give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this gorgeous day. We thank you for your Son who gave generously to us the gift of eternal life because we believe in the finished work on the cross. We are a very grateful people, dear Lord. Just look around us. I thank you for the time that you've given me, the privilege that you've given me to stand here and share with these beautiful people. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them today and the rest of the week, give them traveling mercies wherever they go. And I thank you and ask you to bless in Jesus' precious name. Amen.